This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
8 Jaguars, 4 weeks. Yamava Resort and Casino at San Manuel is giving away 2 Jaguars every Thursday starting January 8th. Club Serrano members, play to earn entries for your chance to win a new luxury crossover SUV. Join for free today and don't miss your chance to drive off in a Jaguar. More cars, more chances to win, only at Yamava Resort and Casino, celebrating its 40th anniversary. You in? Details at yamava.com. Must be 21 to enter. Please gamble responsibly.
I was right on, no, man. I'm making no face.
A little pitchy. We went up high.
Pitchy.
With it.
Now we're doing pitch.
Bang! You sound like my alarm clock. Bang!
Listen, man, I'm already freezing in this joint.
It's a Tuesday
it's pretty
morning.
Cold.
Well, yeah. If you only would have known, it was cold in here this
morning. No, I already got a runny nose. So I walk in, I start getting a runny
nose. You got a runny nose. You got a little bit. Runny.
Yes.
You getting sick after you said alcohol saves everything?
No, I'm not sick. The cold is making my nose run.
It's a Tuesday morning. You're hanging out in the Breaker. Rochester's Classic Rock, 96.5 WCMF. How's it going, buddy?
Good, buddy.
What's going on, female buddy?
Doing good, buddy.
19 degrees right now. Feels like 10 degrees. We'll get into the low 30s. Today is the last day, at least for a couple of days.
Get a break?
Yeah, deal with the bitter cold. High of 39 tomorrow, high of 47 Thursday.
Ooh, 47?
High of 47 Friday, yeah. Although that 47 could be, I don't know. We'll see.
I know, middle of the night.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, God, it sucks. Let's start with a blast from the past sad story.
Oh, I love a sad blast from the past.
And I mean, sad.
Who died?
Nobody died. It's not that sad. But a part of all childhood of millennials and Gen Xers will die as soon as I say this.
What?
The last spaghetti warehouse in New York State is closed.
Oh, my God. Yeah, they used to have one downtown.
You got
I didn't even know there were any left.
So let's
nothing
talk.
Says romance like warehouse dining.
Hey, I would die for another day of the spaghetti warehouse.
She would die. She would go
I
to
would
spaghetti
absolutely
warehouse.
Die.
And then she would,
I die.
She would die. All right, so we do have to catch up some people who may be unaware because we forget, Kimmy, anybody that's under like 30 doesn't.
Yeah, short-lived, right? I don't know how long it was really here for.
So the Spaghetti Warehouse was a restaurant that was located in, was it down by Water Street?
Yeah, we're right downtown,
Okay, and it was exactly what it sounded like.
Mm-hmm.
It was an Italian over-the-top themed restaurant that was just super fun. They had a trolley car inside the restaurant that you could sit down and eat in. They had like the greatest garlic bread stuff you've ever had in your life.
Mm-hmm.
The food was phenomenal. But then again, maybe it's
was
not.
Was it? I don't know.
We were children.
I know.
Everything was delicious.
So the way they described it was Italian food for people that don't like Italian food.
Don't be a dick.
I'm telling
Don't
you.
Be a dick.
It was like Chef Boyardee. It was good.
Well, it was great when you were like 10. So.
Yeah, it was perfect for kids. No, it was spaghetti and meatballs.
I'm done listening to you because we just had a lasagna conversation coming in.
You're not going
to
get a good carbonara. That's all I'm saying.
So like the lasagna warehouse, I would go to that. The spaghetti warehouse in Rochester was a phenomenon. It was a firework. It showed up. It burned bright. It blew up. And then it disappeared. How long was the spaghetti warehouse here?
Like so it was here when I moved here in 93, but they were all over the country.
Yeah, so that's just it. There are, I believe, 5 locations left of the spaghetti warehouse, none of them anywhere close to us. I think there's one in Ohio, there's one in Texas. Kimmy, could you Google the remaining locations?
So there used to be a battle between Spaghetti Warehouse and Spaghetti Works. So those were like 2 chains that were around the Midwest when I was first on the road.
Oh.
And they were they kind of like competed against each other, like Tops and Wegmans.
Oh, okay.
You know what I mean?
Sure.
You were either a Works guy or you were a warehouse cal.
Well, you know, me growing up in a blue collar community, I'm always a warehouse.
Yeah, you go for the warehouse.
Yeah, you're a warehouse dude.
Yeah, you get a nice pallet of spaghetti.
Seems like Ohio's their main hub.
Okay.
Makes sense.
There's a one that recently reopened in Columbus.
Oh, buddy, that's a road
that's
trip.
That's so Ohio.
There's a to-go only location in Texas.
Why would you want that?
I don't know.
Texas
defeats the purpose.
We don't want you out.
Doesn't seem
around.
Like there's many left.
Why don't you just get your spaghetti and get out? They're back to Italia.
The European Mexicans are here.
There's still one in Syracuse.
No, this is the one that's closing.
Oh, that's the one that's closing.
Yeah,
that okay. Well, they still list it on their website.
So if you would like, if you are a millennial Gen Xer that wants one more go at the Spaghetti Warehouse, you have until December 31st. That's when they will be closing forever. How about this? You want the ultimate kick of this
room? What
is it? The building that houses the Spaghetti Warehouse in Syracuse is turning into a podcast studio building.
No kidding.
Yes. Man, the next trend. All right.
There you go. All right. So what was great about Spaghetti Warehouse, again, the food, we will never know, Kimmy, because we were so little. But it was the experience of going to the Spaghetti Warehouse. It was larger than
life. The ambiance.
Yes. It was like walking in.
The atmosphere.
It was an Italian-themed.
With a trolley car.
Yes. I mean, but I'm saying it was like an Italian-themed theme park.
Yeah. Yeah. And it was cheap. Yeah, I mean,
there was a lot
cheap.
To look at.
Didn't care about the price. I was a child. Did not matter.
It was just a pile of spaghetti, man.
Okay. But what I'm getting at is we have gotten away from the over-the-top themed restaurants that were so very popular when we were kids, right? You think of places like Bugaboo Creek, Bahama Breeze, the Ground Round. Like
those themed restaurants.
Yes, every place you went with
where
your parents.
Where there was just way too much stuff on the walls.
But it always kept you entertained. And it wasn't even the stuff. Like, some of that stuff was interactive.
Yeah.
Right? Like, you remember, every single restaurant you went to had, like, an arcade off in the corner somewhere.
It would have to suck to work at those places.
Why?
Think of the noise and the kids and that constant repetitive music you had to listen to all day and all night. It has to drive you nuts.
Was there anyone that worked at these places? 252.
They're all insane. No, they passed, bro. Like, I bet you if you work at those places, your life expectancy is 10 years shorter than somebody that works at a regular restaurant. Well, and but after that Bugaboo Creek, it was everything was like interactive to your point.
Yeah.
It would drive you crazy.
I would say, the more defined the uniform, maybe the more difficult it was to work at those places.
Like Bennigan's.
Because you were probably dealing with more families, more kids. You were kind of like, semi-babysitter.
See, TGI Fridays was like the blandest of the theme restaurants.
Yeah, but you had to wear like 70 buttons.
Yeah, we all remember Office Space. No, see, I have the opposite take you have here.
Right.
As a guy who worked as a waiter for a little while, the more stuff that was distracting the children, the easier it made my job.
I'm just thinking that noise in your head all day.
Yeah, but that's every restaurant, man. You're going to hear
those. Not like that.
Bro, they run 8 songs in every restaurant on repeat. You hear them over and over again. When I worked at Kaufman's, I'm not exaggerating. They would play 9 Christmas carols. So Simply Having a Good Christmas Time by Paul McCartney.
Yeah,
I hear that again, I will murder somebody. The dude is right. It's not even a good synth sound on this. Like, you hear that?
That is proudest moment, I'm sure.
I'm just saying, it wouldn't be a fine song if I didn't hear it every 45 minutes for 2 months.
Yeah.
Simply shut up!
This is
Yeah.
I don't know what he's singing.
252 WCMF. Again, the final Spaghetti Warehouse in New York State will be closing. It's located in Syracuse. Its last day is 1939. December 31st. It originally opened in 1989. So this thing's been open for 36 years.
Yeah, that's a pretty good run for a restaurant.
Yeah.
Do you think that with kids today, as I sound like an old man, the themed restaurant would be a success, or are there already too many distractions in the kids' hand? Because I think the theme restaurant was great for us, Kimmy, because if we went
social
to,
media.
Well, if we went to a restaurant, the only entertainment we had was the
whatever
coloring
was on
page.
TV.
Like, you could
crayon your placemat. Yeah.
Exactly. Like, once that was done.
You walk in with your entertainment now, right? It's on your phone, so what do you need it?
I would like to thank you for saying a more old man thing than I just did.
You have an entertainment right in your hand.
Right there.
I even remember, like, restaurants that weren't typically kid restaurants, they'd sometimes bring in like a mascot or something, like just to entertain the kids.
Yeah.
Like, I can't think of the last time I saw anything like that.
So Salvador's,
or a clown or something.
And the one
but
in Webster.
Tommy got busy and he couldn't do it.
They used to bring in a magician all the time.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then the balloon chick that was like a fairy princess or something.
Was that a bachelor party you went to?
No, it was a different fairy princess.
No, I do remember the magicians.
Boy, can she twist things.
I do remember the magicians and the balloon animals, right?
Yeah, to your point, like, they did always look to entertain the kids in some way, and that can't exist anymore.
You know, as entertainers, is what it says on our patrons, right? I have always wondered.
What's that?
So I Champs at Eastview Mall.
Yeah.
They used to.
Horse bar,
They may still. They have a magician that will go out and do things. And this guy is like, he goes to kid stuff all over the place. And I when my kids were little, I had gone to so many of these events this guy was at, I started striking up conversations.
Yeah.
And he seemed like a really nice guy, right? Like, just really good at what he did, whatever. But I always wondered, You know, you didn't get into the Magician game to do Wednesday night at Champs.
No.
Right?
No. Like, but I don't know why you got into the Magician game.
Maybe it's just a side thing.
Easy
you
money.
You have a regular job and this is your side hustle.
It's not easy money.
You're impressing 7-year-olds, man.
I know, but you got to go out and do it.
Yeah. No, okay, fine. I'm saying it's easier money than digging a hole.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. Like, I always wondered, like, those people that did, like, the balloon artist or the magician or the musician that plays, like, a Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday at a Champs or a Bugaboo Creek or whatever. Is that a sweet gig? Or at, like, 4 o'clock on Wednesday, you're like, damn it, I got to go do
Well, you got to work every weekend, too.
Yeah.
And they usually have regular jobs,
okay.
right? So, like, every Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, you're out in some restaurant trying to please kids. Anyway, our buddy Tiny, he used to do those children's story times, and he would dress up like a big bear and go out. But he loved it, but he was such a nice guy, man. I couldn't do that crap.
Well, like, okay, so now it takes us a step even further, because, Jimmy, when we were kids, there was also this giant explosion of children's live entertainment locally. Right, like he always had like Disney on Ice that would come around.
Yeah,
but we had like Gary the Happy Pirate, Doug and Gary, for
huge.
Example. Yeah. God rest Gary's
mall
soul.
Entertainment.
Yeah,
like the amount of shows that I went to.
And they
the
pack
mall,
them in.
Yeah. They did. Like, yeah. and it was like
no, you're right.
You had to
huge
be there.
Crowds.
Had to be there. Yeah. Like you're talking hundreds of kids sitting crisscross applesauce on the floor at the mall. Which now that I'm thinking about it, ugh.
Yeah.
right.
I remember having like FOMO if we were just there to shop. And I didn't get to go watch what was going on.
Yes, yes. And then, like, remember the demonstrations they would do? There would be, like, a karate demonstration.
Yeah, yeah.
There used to be annually. This was, like, my favorite thing. My grandma would take me every year.
Yeah.
The Peter Pan Peanut Butter Company would do, like, a basketball contest.
Oh.
Really?
Where they would set up, like, a little basketball court, and
I
you would, like, shoot
that.
To win prizes.
Oh.
And every year, it was like, oh, does anyone else remember that? 252
no.
WCMF?
No, I heard of this one.
4, 5, 6, 7 years old, I would go and shoot this basketball. And it was like me being on the court at an NBA game. I would hype myself up for it every year, and I'd get like 3 shots to win like a T-shirt. But it was a big deal for me.
It was like Marv Albert in your head talking to you the whole time?
Well, no, he wasn't allowed around kids at that point.
No, he could be around kids. He couldn't be around transvestite hookers.
Well, I mean, there were a couple
that
of
bite.
I don't know what the kids were into. You guys remember the fishing derbies at the mall?
Yeah. So we used to host those.
Well, you would host the mall fishing derby. You want to take a shot at magicians if you were hosting
know,
a mall fishing
derby? It was a radio event. We went for me, man.
Do you remember these?
No, I don't. I have no memory of this.
So they would set up a pool. Now, in Greece, it was outside what Macy's is
okay.
now. It was a giant pool, and the fish would just swim in a circle. And
live fish.
Yeah. So...
Well, was it like toy fish? You get those toy fish with the thing. That was like kids were pulling up pretty good sized marlin, and you had to clean them and gut them. Right,
he's lying.
It got ugly.
It was what was it? Trout?
Yes, oh my God.
But you would get like a stick with a hook on it.
Oh, yeah. They let anybody do it.
It was like a Huck Finn thing.
Yeah.
Oh.
So you would pay for like it was like 10 minutes
okay.
for like $5.
Yeah.
And if you caught the fish, you got to take the fish home, which I never understood.
You had to clean it and teach the show how to gut it and all that.
But like, if you want a goldfish at a carnival, that's your pet.
Yeah.
What was the, were people eating these fish?
I have
probably.
No idea.
Why else would you take it home?
Yeah. Man, trout's pretty tasty.
Mall trout?
Mall trout's one of the best.
No, like, let's really walk through this here. People were catching fish at the mall with a hook.
Yeah.
I guess they took them home.
You had to eat
I can't remember.
There's no way that thing was going to live. You probably, like, every time I did it, I hooked it in the eyeball. It just, like, swam by. Ah! God! Steve, I'm going up! What the hell's going on here? But I don't remember what we did with the fish.
You had to take it home, I'm sure. Unless you just released it back in there.
I don't think they...
Because you can do that, too.
I remember catching one on the eyeball. How do you do that? How do you
they
put
probably
that
just took it away and said, we'll take care of this.
Yeah, that one's in heaven.
Do fish go to heaven?
Oh, yeah, all fish go to heaven.
Do you ever remember, too, every now and then, like somebody you knew would be in one of those mall shows? They were like the it kid. It was always like the same one or two kids, and they'd be in like the modeling show, or they'd be like in the demonstration somehow. Like
pretentious children.
I remember the first time I realized show business was a lie, and it involves this. Again, 252 WCMF. This started with Spaghetti Warehouse, but we have gone off on a tangent.
Yeah.
There was a girl I grew up with, and she was that girl. Mm-hmm. She did like pageants. She did like modeling stuff.
Sang.
All these things.
All the
right?
things. Yeah.
So she landed the coveted role of teenager number 3 in a Not Me, Not Now commercial.
Oh.
Knew a couple of those kids.
Oh, they ran statewide then, probably.
You got it. And for those who are unfamiliar, Not Me, Not Now was the New York State campaign to keep kids from having underage sex.
Mm.
Not Me, Not Now.
Right.
All right. So she's in this, like, the commercial was like a photo booth. I knew two kids in this commercial.
So did I. Right, maybe so, we knew the same kids.
So but, like, they were in, like, a photo booth. Like, hey, we're just hanging out in the photo booth. We're having fun, but you know what we're not doing? Premarital sex.
Okay. But they say that?
No, well, it's like,
well,
so,
oh, yeah.
In so many words.
Yeah.
She was sexually active. And I'm not judging her for that.
Yeah.
But I remember.
All those kids probably were. I mean, they were all, like, 16 at the time.
She was sexually active.
She was sexually active.
That is a lie.
But I remember being like, wait a minute. You're out there having sex yourself.
Well, there was that company around here. It was called Drama Kids.
Okay,
where you could send your kid to learn to sing, dance, play an instrument. It was around for a while, and it was huge. And they used to do like shows. And once you taught the kids at the mall,
okay,
so you'd be walking through the mall, and all of a sudden, this like you know fame would break out.
I always wonder what happened to all the kids that claimed they had record deals.
Yeah.
I knew multiple kids, like, I was in the studio over the weekend recording my album.
Yeah.
My album.
Well, never heard it.
Now you're jogging me even further. There was that studio in the mall. Do you remember that?
No.
Okay, there was a time.
Yeah, there was a time.
Thank you. Across from Burlington Coat Factory in the mall in Grease Ridge, where there was a little, it was like a guy with a microphone and a computer. All this was early.
Yeah.
And you could go in and they would play like a karaoke track of like a pop song.
Now that you say that, I vaguely
remember. And then they burn you a record.
Yeah,
they
burn
you
a CD.
Yep.
Right. Yeah. There was a time when this town was just packed full of obnoxious kids and restaurants. I'm kind of glad it's all gone.
I don't know. Now I'm looking back at it fondly. Like, I feel like our kids are missing out. Yeah. Maybe the cell phones.
It's from the mall record?
Yes.
The mall album?
Well, it didn't produce any more great artists.
Well, that's not what it's
like.
There
we still have
for.
The number of, you know, they all thought that, you know, we're going to get all these great artists out of this, right? The next John Lennon was going to show up. We
I think they were just taking your money.
Oh, of course they were. Yeah. We got none of it.
Okay. All
right. Who would it be?
No, I'm just saying, like, there's nothing wrong with a kid being creative for being creative.
Okay, but it's not creative if an adult is telling you where to stand and what to do and how to act. Well, creative's being a kid.
Let me tell you, man, it's, you know, we got the art got lost along the way, man.
Structured improv.
Says guy who works on a radio show where we have 15 to 20 minutes for every conversation.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
8 Jaguars, 4 weeks. Yamava Resort and Casino at San Manuel is giving away 2 Jaguars every Thursday starting January 8th. Club Serrano members, play to earn entries for your chance to win a new luxury crossover SUV. Join for free today and don't miss your chance to drive off in a Jaguar. More cars, more chances to win. Only at Yamava Resort and Casino, celebrating its 40th anniversary. You in? Details at yamava.com. Must be 21 to enter. Please gamble responsibly.
Everyone's going to take a loss every once in a while.
Hey, take a hit.
Right? And there are two ways to deal with it. There, you can blame. Look within yourself.
Yeah.
Understand what you did wrong and then adjust to make it better.
Okay.
Or
what?
You can blame everybody else.
Oh.
I would argue.
I like to blame everybody else.
But that's just it. That's why you are a soft, weak man.
Yeah, but I nail it.
And that's fine. Look, again, I'm not judging if you want to
blame. Sometimes
you
just got to lean into it, man.
There is a man who projects strength. Thomas. A man who had everything going his way the last 2 months.
Well, he's a man's man.
Well, you would think so until you hear what he had to say yesterday.
Oh.
You're hanging out in the break room, Rochester's Classic Rock, 96.5, WCMF. So Bills fans still basking in the glory that was that comeback win against the Patriots.
What was the game of the week?
It was amazing. It was amazing. Just fireworks all over the place. And as we talked about it yesterday, you had asked a question, and I agreed with you, that a loss like that breaks a team like the Patriots.
Spirit,
Yeah. But all we could do was sit and wait and see.
All right.
Well, head coach of the Patriots, Mike Vrabel, made it very apparent yesterday that they're still harping on this.
Oh.
He went on our sister station, WEEI in Boston, for I believe his weekly scheduled appearance.
Mm.
And he wanted to talk about officiating.
Okay.
I'm going to read you a quote from his appearance. Are you ready?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Quote, this is Patriots head coach Mike Vrabel. Quote, it's a difficult job. They have a difficult job, Vrabel said. Consistency, sometimes I struggle with it. I'll say this. The Bills lead the NFL in offensive holds, and I'll leave it at that. But he didn't leave it at that. He went on. He said, it would be hard for me to understand how the team that is coming into the game leading, and that's how they play, didn't have one yesterday. That's hard for me to understand.
That there wasn't one holding
but
call
they
on
did.
The Bills.
Yes,
they
did. In fact, it took a touchdown off the board, which the Bills then backed up 10 yards and scored a touchdown on that drive. I
must have forgot about that one.
Mike Vrabel.
Yeah.
Okay.
I was kind of with them because we talked about that yesterday. The inconsistency with officiating has been pretty prominent this year from what I've seen. Mm-hmm. Went a little one step too far, though.
But let's talk about the inconsistency because in our discussion yesterday, we brought up a situation early in that game. You had an obvious incomplete pass on third down of that first drive, which would have had the Patriots punt.
Yeah.
They gave them that catch. The drive after that, same situation happened with the Bills. They signaled down from upstairs to flip it over.
Immediately.
Yes, and like I always say on this show, you can complain about calls. They eventually even themselves out. They did.
Fair enough.
All right. But what's even more interesting, in the first game, the Bills were called for three more penalties than the Patriots.
Okay.
Right? So over two games, Bills and Patriots this season, the Patriots were flagged 15 times. The Bills were flagged 13 times.
All right, so it's pretty
even. It's almost exactly even.
Even, Steven, yeah.
But I think the more important question, other than officiating here, when it comes to Mike Vrabel and the comments he made on the radio yesterday, how soft are you?
He also waited until the next day to make those comments.
Thank you.
Because he could have said it right after the game to all the reporters in the room.
I thought you got fined sometimes if you went out to the refs, right?
He could be fined for this.
Oh, still?
Yeah.
Oh.
He could be.
Well, probably nothing to him.
So this guy is a former NFL player.
Yeah.
He has coached in the NFL before. So, like, if
he's a veteran guy.
He is, and he understands what he's doing here. Mm. This is not a guy simply saying, well, the consistency is off. This is a man complaining that he believes the referees cost the Patriots the game.
So he's going to say that the referees allowed the Bills to score 35 points after they had him 21-0.
That is what he is
That's what he's claiming.
This is what he is implying.
That they opened up the field for Josh Allen.
Yes, yes, yes. Mm. And what's funny, and let's just even say that's the case. Let's say the Bills were holding on every single play.
Yeah.
Why did you only score 7 points in the second half?
Because
that has nothing to do with offensive holding.
Sure.
That has nothing to do with offensive holding. Like maybe quit being soft and shut up and take your loss.
Soft.
Okay, so here's the thing.
Yeah.
What I am trying to wrap my head around here is how the Patriots are always the most unlikable group of people. Like, the fans suck. That's one thing. You can't control that. Yeah. Fan bases can be insufferable.
A spoiled fan base.
But here's the thing in New England. You have a young quarterback in Drake May that seems like a charming, nice kid.
Yeah.
You have a new cast of young characters that could have some talent in there. You get a nice win streak beating bad teams, and you get some goodwill across the NFL. And here comes soft-ass, giant-face Mike Vrabel to come in and ruin it. And I don't get how, after all of those years of having Belichick and Brady and them being hateable, they have a chance to change the narrative and be like, hey, look, we're the fun new Patriots. And Vrabel's like, oh, we're not going to do that. We're going to be annoying and hated again.
But again, you know, you're talking about 50 and 60-year-old men.
Okay.
That's who these coaches are. And that's how guys my age reacted. Hey, what the hell?
I
didn't get a fair shake on that thing.
Hey, look,
you're squeezing a little guy out. Look, I pay my taxes. Where's my cut?
You can make a lot of criticisms of head coach Sean McDermott.
Yeah.
Have you ever?
He ain't 55 yet. He's a kid. No. He's a 40-year-old boy.
Vrabel and him are the same age.
No.
Yes.
I think they are.
Yeah, I think McDermott might be older.
And by the way, like, you hate the young guys too, because nobody likes Mike McDaniel. It's not all the old guys. Coach in this league long enough, you're gonna say something that's gonna piss people off.
All right, so let me say, all men suck.
Okay, that's fair. I want to read this Instagram message.
By the way, McDermott's had his moments.
He's never said anything about the referees.
No, but he's had his moments.
As far as what?
9/11.
Well, yeah, obviously.
I mean,
that's
all
not
these
a great
guys
call.
Have these.
Yeah,
yeah.
Okay.
All these guys have their faux pas.
To his
man.
Point, like, I just think, like, whatever fan base it is, that guy's going to piss off another fan base,
because you're
especially
giving
in close games.
You're giving men microphones.
In McDermott's defense, he didn't say that in a microphone. He said that behind closed doors.
Okay, all right. All right.
Class guy.
Phil
writes us on Instagram, Duffy at WCMF. He says, Buffalo has the refs in their back pocket. Is that a serious statement? Is that a serious statement right now?
Like the Chiefs.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just saying, I watched an AFC Championship game last year. Did not complain about it. It happens. Calls even out. But you're going to tell me? All right. So getting away from Mike Vrabel being soft and this team being broken. Are the Patriots the most hateable team in sports history?
For me, yes.
Let's try and take our local bias out of it.
Yeah.
Right? Because they are likely suspects. Recently, you have the Chiefs that get up there, but I would argue they haven't been around on top for long enough.
No. And they did experience a lot of, well, so did the Patriots, I guess. But I feel like the Chiefs were a team that they were, before they had their Super Bowl years, they were the team that almost made it there. They had some really tough, heartbreaking losses to get there. So in the beginning, you were kind of rooting for them.
Yeah.
And then they got obnoxious.
All right, yeah. If we run down the list of the most likely suspects of hated teams in America.
Mm-hmm. All sports?
Yes. Like, yeah. Yankees?
Yeah.
Cowboys?
Oh, yeah.
Lakers?
Oh, yeah.
Duke? Notre Dame?
Okay.
Yeah.
That is the, what did we learn
the
yesterday?
Most likely.
The quintuple of most hated sports.
Which is weird because like Alabama doesn't get it. And they've won so many national championships.
Yeah. Alabama might get to be up there now.
But you never hear about it. Or maybe because we live up here. You don't run into a lot of Alabama
like ask Auburn
fans.
How they feel about Alabama.
Yeah, no, you're right.
But I also think like when it comes to New England, I think for me it's almost more the fan that Boston fan base in general. I can't root for because they've been spoiled in every sport. They've won a championship. Like even when like their basketball team is bad, their hockey team's good.
Okay.
Like they always have something to root for. They always have a team in the mix, which just makes them that much more hateable.
So you're
whereas Kansas City fans, okay, you have the Royals, but you're really just rooting for Kansas City. Like that is what you live and die by.
I think it also comes down to the personal experiences you've had with those fans.
Also that.
Right? Because okay. Like I know we don't run into a lot of Kansas City fans, but like going to Kansas City twice the last couple of years, they could not have been nicer people.
Yeah.
Like they were the nicest people.
Well, that's the Midwest for you.
And every time I've gone to Boston for a sports thing, they're just the biggest douchebags. Like it's insane. Ah, and they're like the most annoying accent of all time. You heard Ryan.
Yeah, it's super unattractive on a woman.
Kind of sounds like they have a speech impediment. Like they can't say the owls.
There's no owls.
Yeah.
The eels will we. 252 WCMF, head coach of the Patriots, Mike Vrabel, goes on the radio yesterday at our sister station, WEEI in Boston. And I will read you the quote again.
Right.
Talking about officiating. Quote, it's a difficult job. They have a difficult job. The consistency. Sometimes I struggle with it. I'll say this. The Bills lead the NFL in offensive holds. And I'll leave it at that. And it would be hard for me to understand how the team that is coming into the game leading, that's how they play, didn't have one yesterday. That's hard for me to understand. They did have a holding penalty. You can't hold your way out of a 21-point lead.
Yes.
Or a 21-point hole. You get what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
You know, as we talk about all these, like, teams that are hated traditionally. Because you're right. Alabama would be up there. They won recently.
I guess Southern teams really don't make a mark up here.
When it comes to the Yankees, Cowboys, Lakers, Duke, and Notre Dame, and as we speak, there is some guy riding around Rochester that has all five of those stickers on his car at the same time.
Really?
Outside of the Lakers, none of those teams have won a championship in the last however many years.
Yeah.
Like
maybe it's shifting for younger people.
It could be. And that's what I'm trying to figure out. But, Kimmy, even when we were kids, I mean, like, the Cowboys won when we were super young.
Yeah.
The Yankees had their run. But Notre Dame hasn't won a national championship since 88.
Yeah.
Duke was more recent. But the Lakers were good.
Yeah.
You know what it is with some of those fan bases, especially when it comes to teams like Duke? It's like, it's the most bandwagon fans because you know majority of the people who are fans of those teams have really no ties personally to those teams. Like it's pretty unlikely that they went to that school or they lived in that area or, you know, it's just like they just decided they liked that team one day.
No, look, I agree with you there.
There's no personal tie to it, which kind of makes you, it's lessens your fandom, I guess.
I think that like all those franchises are like household names.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because like, all right, so when I first went on the road, I was doing all these college towns, like I would go to like Bloomington, Indiana. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh my God, this is really, I had to go see like, the floor, like walk in there and see those trophies and you know, like Bobby Knight and all that. Those guys were like icons.
Sure.
I didn't even really follow the sport that much, but he was such a flamboyant figure. He was constantly in the news being an a-hole. It was the same thing of Ohio State with Woody Hayes.
Mm.
I mean, that guy, he punched a kid at a bowl game. He punched a kid from Clemson for getting an interception on him. He belted him on national TV. I mean, he hauled off and punched this kid. Like, I mean, they were so iconic. Like, when I went to Ohio State, I got to walk around his place.
I do find it interesting with your personality. You are drawn to guys that have done terrible things, where those terrible things is what makes everybody else hate those teams.
Right.
But they're so iconic.
That's fine, but it's funny. Like, you know, Woody Hayes hit a kid. I had to go see things in Columbus.
Bobby Knight choked a kid.
I got to go see that floor.
Yes.
What is wrong with you?
And they let you walk around these places. It was amazing.
Yeah, until Bobby Knight comes and, get over here!
I would have been honored to be choked out by Bobby Knight.
Look, I think everybody listening would love to watch you get choked out by Bobby Knight. All right. I will say this before you move on.
Yeah.
You know, you had asked again, does this team get devastated in New England by this loss? I do not think that a coach comes out and says what he says publicly if there is not turmoil inside that locker room. I can't believe he was not smart enough to not say that out loud.
Yeah.
Because if you want to hate the refs, fine, man. Everybody has that feeling every once in a while. You, with that platform, do not say that out loud.
What is it with Boston radio where all these guys, like, remember Brady went out there and made an ass out of himself?
Yeah, they all go. Yeah.
Brady's dad went on there and made an ass out of himself.
I think his dad had, like, a regular spot, if I'm not mistaken.
Bro, Boston, Boston radio is, like,
wild.
Notoriously, no, brutal, terrible. So, like, the Patriots play-by-play, they have a color guy. I think his name is Scott Zolak. He played in the NFL for a couple years. He was a backup Patriots quarterback for years and years. He is the most over-the-top, ridiculous, obnoxious. Listen to a Patriots call every once in a while. Like, get on the app, check it out, and listen to this guy run his effing mouth. Like, you think I'm over-the-top and obnoxious? This guy gets paid by the team to do this.
Wow. Let's check it out.
Three games to go.
All right.
Let's take a break.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
8 Jaguars, 4 weeks. Yamava Resort and Casino at San Manuel is giving away 2 Jaguars every Thursday starting January 8th. Club Serrano members, play to earn entries for your chance to win a new luxury crossover SUV. Join for free today and don't miss your chance to drive off in a Jaguar. More cars, more chances to win. Only at Yamava Resort and Casino, celebrating its 40th anniversary. You in? Details at yamava.com. Must be 21 to enter. Please gamble responsibly.
It used to be stuff costs what it costs, and everyone paid that.
Sure.
Tommy, if I bought a pair of pants on the same day you bought a pair of pants, we were paying the same price for a pair of pants.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not that way anymore.
What's going on?
Well, when you shop online, it's very common, based on your search history and previous purchases, to be charged different than other people.
Mm.
But now, it's officially worked its way into stores and has a very popular service under the magnifying glass.
So what are they doing?
You're hanging out in the break room, Rochester's Classic Rock, 96.5, WCMF. So you guys are familiar with Instacart.
Everybody's used it.
Well, for those who aren't, it's like Uber Eats that will do your grocery shopping for you. You pay a fee, you get your groceries either delivered to your front door or ready for you to pick up outside the store. So you do not have to do your grocery shopping. Yeah. It's all done for you, right? Well, a new study has shown that Instacart is charging different people different prices for the same items in the same stores on the same day.
Damn. How does that work?
For example, at a Target they used in this
study,
some customers were charged $2.99 for a jar of peanut butter, while on the same day at the same store, other customers were charged $3.59 for that same jar.
All right, so when you put out your grocery list to Instacart, you're just clicking on this.
Yes, and then, like, it shows you pictures of the items, bang, bang.
And it shows you the price,
you
obviously,
got it.
Right? And then you follow them. You can literally follow them around the store, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's weird if you want to do that, but
but, like, you can tell. Well, I thought, like, they'll say, like, we're here now. This has been in your cart, right?
Yes, because you can keep adding as long as they're shopped.
Oh. Yeah.
Yes.
All right.
So,
I'm asking a question.
Well,
she's going break down. Out what's Instacart.
Well,
I asked a question.
She's going down aisle 7.
See, just like that lady.
She's making the turn. So this same pattern emerged at other grocery stores across 4 cities using almost 500 shoppers in this study.
Mm.
And in this study, they said this type of pricing could unknowingly cost customers an extra $1,200 a year.
Yeah, but it's not unknowingly. You're clicking on, you're looking at the price and saying, okay.
Here's unknowingly. The price that you are seeing is different than the price someone else is seeing on a different app.
But you're willing to pay it.
But you don't know it's cheaper for somebody else. Do you understand what I'm saying?
But I wonder if it's already in that terms and agreement
you clicked on,
right?
Look, I mean, who knows?
Maybe we could shaft you on the peanut butter.
Who knows what the hell is going on? But I will ask, and it seems, because you love being 1%er Tommy, it sounds like you're okay with what they're doing here.
Yeah, buyer beware, man.
How are you beware if you can't be aware?
Because you're too lazy to get your ass in the store.
Oh, is that what it is?
Yeah. Man, if I own that company, I'd love to do that.
Kimmy?
Yeah.
You okay with this?
I don't think I have a problem with it.
Why? So both of you are fine with them charging the same
different prices
for the same item?
Because they're knowing what you're willing to pay. They must see a pattern where you're willing to pay that.
So it's funny you say that. Yeah. Instacart says that's not the case at all.
Well, you know it is.
They say they are not using personal information to change the prices. They are testing to see what items matter most to customers. They say they are not using your personal information.
Oh, so like you would pass on the peanut butter.
If it's too expensive.
Okay.
So okay. The other interesting part about this, stores, Target, Wegmans, Tops, whatever, they do not know about this. They didn't know about this. They do not control these prices. Instacart
it's
is
all
pocketing
the app,
the difference if they are charging people more money. So what were you saying about buyer beware?
Well, if I, you know. Because
you thought Wegmans was profiting, and that's why you're okay with
it. Well, I thought they must get a cut.
Well, Wegmans gets the cut for the, you pay for the service.
Right.
They get paid for the groceries. But Instacart is charging more. And
so they don't get that extra peanut butter money.
Wegmans, Tops, Target does not.
Well, that's not fair to Danny.
I guess I just think, like, if I'm going to use this service, I'm paying more anyways. Like, you're paying for the...
It's a luxury.
You don't have to use this, right, if you don't want to.
It's a super luxury.
Sure. Yeah. But you're already paying for it.
Yeah. Well, I always knew that the prices are already more because you're paying...
Yeah. For the convenience.
Oh, no. Okay, so let me be
so clear. I'm saying like a can of corn costs 79 cents.
Yes.
I thought it cost more when you ordered on Instacart.
No, they charge you a fee for
the
service.
Okay, so that's built into
the price. So like sometimes with Uber Eats and DoorDash, yes, the prices will go up because that's kind of how you're paying for it sometimes. In this case, that was not spelled out.
All right.
And that's why people are like, wait. The phone number is 252-WBCMF, 252-9263. We've crossed a line here.
What's that?
It is frustrating to be charged more for an Uber when it's busier, but it's something we've become accustomed to.
Well,
we knew that's what Uber was when Uber started.
Yeah.
Demand, right?
It is rage-inducing to find out that airlines will charge you more for tickets based on how you spend other places across the internet, but that is the only way to buy a plane ticket.
Right.
This is groceries.
Yeah.
This is food.
But don't you just assume that there's, like, if people don't want to pay it, there will be another app that pops up that does it better?
Unless Instacart has become so big that it's impossible for another app to be able to do that, and that's the problem here.
Yeah.
Right? Because the argument has always been with Amazon, well, you know, if people get unhappy with Amazon, another app will show up, but we can't do that
but
now.
But can't you do...
They own the world.
Yeah,
can't you do groceries through other apps? Like, does Uber do groceries? Like, aren't there other services, I guess, that offer this?
If there are, I'm not familiar, but 252-WCMF, 252-9263. I mean, I do wonder, again, we're talking about Instacart. A new study shows that they are charging the same people in the same stores different prices for the same item. For example, in this study, they showed a jar of peanut butter, $2.99 for one person. The same day, the same store, other customers were charged $3.59. The same pattern emerged at other grocery stores across four different cities in the U.S. using almost 500 shoppers. The study says this could cost customers an extra $1,200 a year that they would be unaware that they were spending. Instacart says they are not using personal information. They're simply testing what items.
They're doing research and development.
That's what they're arguing.
But I can't shed a tear over people that use this service because these people aren't poor.
Okay.
I mean, you're using it. It's not for like struggling working people. This is for people that have discretionary money to go have food delivered to them.
So look, there's a lot of those people, and you're right. You're right.
I don't. I can't imagine many struggling people are using Instacart.
There are also people that have a hard time leaving the house that use Instacart.
Yeah, but that's got to be a really small percentage.
I don't know. You might be right. I'm not sure.
Like, you're talking about people that are, like, invalids and medical problems.
I mean, amongst other things.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's possible.
All right.
Wi-Fi, screw them, huh? Peanut butter, who needs it?
All right, get me some peanut butter, but my legs don't work. How are we out to fare since the car itself?
252-WCMF. Let's talk to a man who used it for just this, that exact reason.
Oh, because he's a house.
Was housebound.
Oh, okay.
Rammer's on CMF. Hey, Rammer, how are you, buddy?
Hey, good morning. So, yeah, what really upset me about this is that I'm paying 20 to 30% more per product at, say, Wegmans to do, you know, a curbside pickup. Because obviously, it took me 3 months to really recover from surgery.
And we're
right?
so glad you're back. We are so glad you're back, buddy.
Well, that's kind of debatable, depending on your opinion. But what bothered me most was about the people that were coming out to the car to bring me the groceries weren't wearing Instacart shirts. They were wearing Wegmans employee shirts.
Yeah. So.
You're being upcharged just for the process of going through Instacart, even though the shoppers aren't Instacart shoppers. they were Wegmans employees.
Well, I mean, I look at it this way. If Wegmans were to offer that, they would also upcharge you for it.
Yeah, they'd have to.
I mean, it's still a service, I guess.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, would they? Because I don't think, you know, there are some instances, like when I've gone to Target to pick up something, even a $3 item, because that's where they had it, you know, like, a, let's say, an apple cider vinegar or something, and there's no upcharge.
I don't know, Rammer. You know what? You should email Danny, because he gets back to you, we found out.
Oh yeah, no, I know where Danny lives. I've been there before.
I wouldn't say that out loud. I wouldn't say that into a microphone. Just the way it sounded. The way it sounded was really bad. I'm going to let you go before the FBI reaches out to us. But thank you for the call. There goes Rammer. We don't know him well.
I know where Danny
I never heard of him.
I've been to his house. I'll just leave him a note on his doorstep.
So you don't believe that Instacart isn't using personal information? You think they're charging people who have? Or spending more and more money for items.
Oh, I think, yeah, I think they use your information.
Okay.
I think that's bothering people less than the money they're charging.
Well, we're so used to our information now being used to charge us for extra stuff. Like, again, that in general should be illegal, and I don't know, like, amongst everything. The fact that an airline can arbitrarily charge you more money.
Well, they're going to charge you more money, too, based on the time of the year you fly.
That's one thing, right? Supply and demand is one thing. They will charge you more money based on what you have spent at other websites. Like, that, how is that not against the law?
Because you can shop.
Okay.
If there was only one airline, you'd have a bitch. But if you've got seven airlines to choose from and on all these websites, you know, these travel sites, you've got options.
But the point I'm making is they could all be doing this without you knowing it.
Yeah.
Right?
Like, I assume they do.
Okay, but that's just it. That's the problem. If you want to charge me because it's more expensive to fly in December because more people are using it, I get that. That's supply and demand. That's capitalism. If you are charging me more money simply because you saw at NFLshop.com, I bought a $175 jersey. How is that legal?
Because you a sucker. Because you clicked on are you a sucker? Do you agree that you are a sucker? Yes, I do.
And I clicked on it, and it said, Edie, please provide your password and username. Edie Muley, sucker, 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 4969.
Oh, yeah, just somebody sucker.
Well, there was already, she kept forgetting her login, so she had to create new names. It added a sucker every time.
Sucker. This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.